When poet Lee Young Lee was a child, he says he prayed to God, but as he grew older, he discovered he'd been praying to his father. This powerful and almost mythic figure of his father runs throughout Lee Young Lee's first book of poems. Lee's great-grandfather was the first president of the People's Republic of China. Lee's father was personal physician to Mao Zedong and later a philosopher in Indonesia. During the rise of President Sukarno, the political climate grew hostile toward the Chinese and Western philosophy. Lee's father was imprisoned as a subversive. He escaped in 1961. Lee Young Lee's family wandered throughout Southeast Asia under assumed names before settling in Hong Kong. There they went from poverty to fabulous wealth as the father built an evangelical ministry that elevated him to celebrity status. Lee Young Lee was six when his family moved to a small mining town in western Pennsylvania, where his father became a Presbyterian minister. Lee Young Lee's poetry reflects a struggle with an imposing family heritage that often seemed remote and unreal. I asked him to read a passage from his poem, Furious Versions, about his father's capture in Indonesia.
Soldiers sweep the streets for my father. My mother hides him, haggard, in the closet. The booted ones herd us to the sea, waves furl boats lovingly, and bodies going out, farther out. Now my father holds my hand. He says, don't forget any of this. A short, bony-faced corporal asks politely, deferring to class, what color suit, professor, would you like to be buried in, brown or blue? A pistol butt turns my father's spit to blood.
How old were you when the memory that the poem describes happened, when that incident happened?
I must have been about 3 years old. I should probably say to a lot of my memories are unclear to me. And the memory I had in mind was actually, it turned out, was a story that my father told me when I was very young. And he told me the story over and over again. Each night he would wake up with these nightmares, and he would tell me about a story of lying there and a soldier asking him, what color suit would you like to be buried in? And I somehow that story lodged in my brain as a memory. But in fact, it was a story that he told me. But then I do remember, there are other incidences in the poem Furious Versions that I actually remember having witnessed.
But that's the thing about memory. You sometimes don't know whether you've made it up, whether it's something somebody's told you, or whether you actually lived it.
Yeah, it's so difficult, especially when your survival depends on what you remember. I think that while we were wandering around in Southeast Asia, a lot of our survival depended on what we could commit to memory. And yet the doom in that, of course, is that your memory isn't reliable. You revise things in your memory. And as a result, if you are what you remember and your memory keeps revising things, then you keep getting revised. There are stories, for instance, that I recall, and my father is a character in them. And yet when I remember asking him about them, and he would say, no, that wasn't us. That was another family that we got separated from, and this and that. So I feel as if I'm walking around with not only my own luggage, but other people's luggage. And,
yeah, right.
You know, it's kind of strange.
Uh-huh. You've written that when you were living in Hong Kong, where your father was an evangelical preacher, that you all lived in a penthouse, but you were not really allowed outside of the penthouse.
Yeah, that was... I don't know whether that's... simply peculiar to my father or all Chinese families are like that, but he was extremely domineering and tyrannical, and he had a real fear, I think, of the outside world, I read that fear, and early on I began to sense that the world was a fearful place to live in. What's more interesting to me is not my background so much, all the illustrious things about my family, so much as how little those things had to do with me, living here in America. So it's that sense of dislocation that really interests me right now in my own writing.
Now, you've written that because you traveled around so much and kind of changed identities in a way so much when you were young that you became convinced that life was a series of disconnected episodes that did not cohere.
Right.
And I was wondering if there's anything you could do to give a coherence, and if reading helped to give a coherence.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, watching my father, all that time while we were traveling around, my father would be translating from the Old Testament. And he did it doggedly, and he was persistent about it. And he was absolutely sure that that was one way to stay sane. While the background was changing, and the country was changing, and the language, and the food, and the music was changing, he was doing this one activity, translating the Old Testament. And I saw then that literature for him was like bread, like blood, water, you know. It wasn't a parlor game. And I began to have a real deep love, not only for the Old Testament, but for what poetry and literature could mean.
Was there a point in your life when you started to see family stories as a form of literature?
I have a fear of that, actually. I feel as if, you know, my friends who are novelists and prose writers tell me, geez, you know, you're so lucky, I would kill to have your life. And I think it's kind of, it is a blessing, but it's also a doom, a curse, because I end up trying to work harder at making art. I mean, I could tell stories, and they're exotic, and they're interesting, and they even have human import. But somehow, as an artist, you have to do something with it. It has to be transformed, you know. Emerson, I think it was, talks about man being an alembic through which nature is passed, you know. And it has to pass through me to become art. It'd be too easy simply to tell the stories, you know, to assume their importance.
You've said that when that there was a period when the stories that were in your family you kind of rejected because it didn't seem to be about you. You didn't identify with that part of your family's past, but that changed for you later on. And I was wondering what changed that.
Yeah. You know, the change was quite recent, about a year and a half ago. I really did have the sense that those stories had nothing to do with me. I would hear wonderful stories about wealth and opulence and eccentricities of my ancestors, and they had nothing to do with me growing up in Western Pennsylvania in a mill town. You know, I would walk to school and the steel mills would be there belching smoke, and it had nothing to do with me, I would feel. But lately, I feel differently. Something happened. About a year and a half ago, I got this letter from a wonderful man. It's from Houston, Texas. He said he saw my name somewhere, I think it was in the New York Times, about some award or something, and he noticed that I was born in Indonesia. And he said he was an Indonesian, and as a fellow Indonesian, he wanted to congratulate me and say hello and so on. And he signed his name in English and in Chinese. So I sat down to return the letter, and my sister saw the letter and said, well, I know this man. And I laughed it off, thinking she was given to enthusiasms, and she insisted she was right, and she showed it to my mother. And my mother began to weep openly, and she said, this man was your father's cellmate.
Oh.
In Indonesia. So immediately I wrote back to him, and I told him who I was, and we've been in touch ever since, and I plan to meet him at some point. He's been able to already tell me a few things about my father that I could have guessed, but I didn't really know. You know, he said, for instance, my father was a very serious, brooding young man while he was in prison. And that was important to me, to know that about him. And now I'm beginning to feel, you see, that this connection. And I really do feel I'm going to piece everything back together now. And I'm going to find out exactly what I am and what I am not.
You've done so much reading. Are there any characters in fiction that you find yourself really identifying with, who helped you figure out something of who you were?
Yeah, absolutely. All the characters of the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament, you know. And there's my father again. He taught me to love the Old Testament, and I do love it. All those stories of those people who had to change their names. You know, I was just reading the book of Daniel, reading about how Daniel and his three friends had to change their names when Nebuchadnezzar came into power, and they had to observe the rites, the religious rites of this other culture, and they refused to do that, you know. Just stories like that. I love those stories, stories about how people survive in the face of annihilation and persecution, how they survive while wandering in the wilderness. I love those stories, you know, stories of courage and power.
I'd like to close with a poem. You have a book of your poems called Rose, And there's a poem in it called Rain Diary that I'd mm-hmm. like you to read a passage from.
Okay. By now, my father's hair has grown past his shoulders. What name would he answer to, this father of sleepless nights and stories of camps where his spit turned to blood? Father of the thousand-mile sadness, the rocking ship, and the melancholy of trains. Father of fatigue and the bitter bowl, whom I asked once, where are we going? My question could have been, in what country will your pillow finally come to rest and the rain call you home? His answer would have been the same, my father of this America and a divided tongue. As a boy, I lay quietly beside while he napped. I was practicing to lie down by his grave. Father beneath the grass, collecting the myriad waves of rain in buckets and cans, the way we did in Pittsburgh in 1964. I remember his poverty, winters, and the trials by rain. I remember holes in the ceiling, his face leaning into his own hands. I remember my father of rain.
Lee Young Lee, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lee Young Lee's first book of poems, Rose, is published by BOA Editions.